And we are live peeling potatoes 22.
Did you count them? Because I can't remember.
No, I'm going by my memory. Which you know, as you know, as the older one gets, it sort of gets more like Swiss cheese, yeah.
Okay.
Lots of holes in it. No, welcome back.
Thank you.
The last time we talked, it was before you went to Kruger Park.
Yes.
You set
and then
the
I fell off the planet.
And then you fell off the planet. Well, in a way you did, but then you hit the planet with about a trillion and a half pictures and photos.
Yes.
And impressions.
Yes.
And I can't speak of the rest of the recipients, but I can only speak for myself, but I sort of thought, this is not fair. I want to be there too.
Yes. And I think I mentioned to you that you leave a piece of your heart behind, and seeing the pictures motivates you to go there again.
Yes, because I want to leave a piece of my heart there as well.
Yes.
So that's what we're going to talk about. Yesterday, in one snippet of conversation, you talked about holiday blues and a mountain of laundry.
Oh, yes.
In your son's bedroom, still waiting to be folded.
Yes.
Let's start with that. How is the pile of laundry?
Bigger, still there.
Okay.
I just didn't have the energy to do it yesterday. So that's also on my to-do list for today.
So that is actually because when you and that's a sign of a good holiday, I think, because when you when I asked you the question, what is a holiday for you, and you said to get out of the routine, and now you're having difficulty a little bit getting back into the routine because you're still sort of you've I think you left more than your heart in Kruger. I think you've left a lot more in Kruger this time because you're finding it difficult to find your routine.
It takes a couple of days to get back into routine and to get everything back in order.
So first of all, thank you for sending us all of those wonderful, wonderful pictures.
It's my pleasure.
And now we're going to make it even more painful because I want to hear stories that come with these pictures. Let's sort of paint the scene a little bit on a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Family of three at 4 o'clock in the morning get into their car. Well, the third member is gently placed on the back seat.
I will tell you about that too.
it is pitch black. The roads are empty. And this family of three heads northeast on a 5 to 6 hour journey for a truly wonderful experience. Tell us how it all started.
Okay, so the week before, we did a lot of preparation and packing and getting things ready. But because I like planning so much, I had a list. So I did a little bit of planning, typed out the days, what we plan to do on those days, when we are traveling to which areas, and just an idea of dinner plans. Breakfast, that's more or less sorted by itself as the day goes, but dinner is important because we have to have at least 6 barbecues in 9 days. But that's the magic of it, because you sit outside, you have your fire, you listen to all the sounds of the night, and that is what makes it amazing. So that's why it's important to have a lot of barbecues.
The food is totally irrelevant here.
It doesn't matter as long as you have a fire and you can sit outside and appreciate the silence, and not just the silence, but the all the sounds that you can hear at night. Okay. So anyways, that was a little bit of planning, and then things to pack, like sunblock and mosquito repellent and binoculars and the map. The map is important. And the reason the map is important is because the Kruger National Park doesn't have signal, and you might get lost, which also happened to us once, but I'll get to
Oh,
that
little teasers are being strategically
little
planted.
teasers. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So on the Friday afternoon, I packed up our laptops and valuable things, took it to my mom's house for safekeeping. And I left her with a bunch of instructions how to take care of the animals and please water the chilies and sunflowers so they don't die. And then I came back home and we started packing the car. And there were still a couple of things that we couldn't pack, like the cooler box with the meat and some cool drink for the road and so on. So that was all. The cooler boxes were left in the kitchen, but everything else that we could pack into the car that we didn't need, we packed it. We also made a nice little bed for my son on the back seat because the idea was to leave early so that he can sleep halfway through. And then when he wakes up, we are almost there. So we decided to leave at 4. We woke up at 3 o'clock. Magically, but I think it was the excitement because we couldn't sleep anymore. We couldn't wait any longer. So we had coffee. We made coffee for the road and some hot chocolate for my son. And then we loaded him into the car after we got dressed and finished the last things. And we left about 10 past 4. And the place that we plan to have breakfast only opens at 7. That's about 3 hours drive there. And then we could have breakfast at 7. So when we got there, my husband and I made a couple of jokes on the way there. I was asking him, why is he speeding? But he wasn't actually speeding. And then I asked him, why is he trying to race the GPS? But he also wasn't doing that. It was just the road was clear, it was open, we didn't have any traffic. So there was no let's say no interruptions on the road. So
Okay, good.
it was an easy drive. So we arrived at this place at 6:30 in the morning. So we were ahead of schedule.
You left 10 minutes late and you made up for lost time and you arrived ahead of schedule.
Yes, so you understand why we were racing the GPS, which we didn't actually. So when we got to this place, it's a big halfway stop for everyone traveling to the Kruger National Park or who are heading towards Maputo or Mozambique. That's about the halfway mark. So we stop there. I send you a couple of pictures or a video. I think I took a video as well.
I think you did, yeah.
Yes. So they have some animals as well that you can view from outside. We saw ostriches, we saw some antelope, and then we were looking for the rhinos because they also have rhinos. We could see them, but they were very, very far away because it's a big, big area. After taking some pictures, searching for the animals, we went back inside. Places were still closed because they're only open at 7. So we decided to grab a garage pie and a coffee for breakfast.
The culinary highlight of the week, a garage pie and a coffee.
And my son chose Krispy Kreme donuts. With the idea, the box had 3 donuts. The idea was to share it with us, but he ate all 3 for breakfast.
It's a hungry going boy. I mean,
It's okay. He's on holiday.
Exactly.
But they smelled very, very sweet, and they looked very, very sticky. So he had them instead.
Fair enough.
Yes. So the idea was to spend about an hour at this place, while having breakfast and so on. But grabbing a garage pie, donuts, and coffee, jumped in the car, and we left.
You couldn't get there quick enough, could you?
We didn't want to wait 30 minutes for the restaurants to open, so we decided, well, let's find something else and then make our way where we want to be.
Fair enough.
And then as we drove further, I saw a place, it's called Millie's. So they also have a very nice restaurant. There's also there's a play area for the kids. They have a big lake where you can feed the fish. And then I said to my husband, maybe we should have stopped here for breakfast, but it's okay. We already had breakfast, so let's just push through. But well, we kept the place in mind. But every time we go, we kind of miss this place because we forget about it. You think about the big halfway stop, and then there's two other places. The one is called Vivo. They also have a very nice restaurant. They have a nice little shop. And then just past it, there's a place called Hubert and Sions. Like Hubert is a family name, and then Sons. There's some Oxwagons. You can take pictures there. They also have a small restaurant on the inside. You can buy biltong, dried fruit, jams, everything there. But we decided we are going to skip those two as well. And then we drove all the way to Mbombela, which was the old Nelspruit. I send you a picture of the stadium. It looks like the giraffes. So this stadium is also, there's a lot of South African rugby games being played there by the Springboks, New Zealand. It's quite a big stadium, also very popular. And from there, it's about an hour's drive to the gate, to Malelane. So we did somewhere take a wrong turn, and then we made a small turn inside of Mbombela, and then found our way back. Where we was actually supposed to stay on the N4. We went a little bit off course, but that was because of the signs. The signs were a bit tricky. Instead of just heading straight, we panicked a bit and we took the wrong turn. But because I don't keep the GPS on, because I know it's just one straight road.
Except for some interruptions, which basically goes to show that you have not been in Kruger Park enough. If you know, the amount of times you've been there, you still get lost, yeah, on the way there. It just shows me that, you know,
We weren't lost. We just took a detour
that's the
through
polite way.
Mumbela to see
That's
what it
the,
looked
oh yeah, that's the
like.
polite way of saying that, I suppose. I don't want to disillusion you, but you know, my statement says you haven't been there enough times.
Yes, I have to go
You
more
have to
often.
practice. You have to practice this more often.
Yes. So then we got to the gate at Malalan at around 10, I think, 10 in the morning, and we were an hour or hour 30 minutes ahead of schedule.
Okay, so let me interrupt you there for a minute because I have an ulterior motive in all of this because, as you know, it's on my list of my big to-do list. And as you also know, we look at this whole experience from a completely different lens because for us it's sort of like paradise. And I actually then had a look at the website, the South African National Park websites. And looked at the prices, et cetera, because I want to factor that in as well. And I was very surprised, but not so surprised to learn that if you are a foreign national visiting South Africa, you pay about 20 times more than the local residents do. You arrived at the gate.
Yes.
Do you just drive through, or is there actually a
No, no,
checkpoint where
there's,
you can
yes,
say
there's a
hello?
checkpoint. So, the reservation that I made, we printed that out. And then there's also indemnity forms. Every time you enter any gate in the Kruger, you have to, fill out the indemnity form. So it has your cell phone number, it has your ID number, your car registration, everyone who's in the car with you. And then you also have to claim if you have firearms. If you are a day visitor, you're not allowed to take any alcohol into the park with you. You are also not allowed to buy any alcohol in the park. And then you are not allowed to have anything like a drone that you take with you. And then you park your car outside of the gate, you walk into the reception, you give them the indemnity form, and you show them that you have your reservation, and then they let you through. But if you enter as a day visitor, oh, but they do search your car. They check backseat in the trunk. What do you have? If you have a cooler box like we did. We had two actually, one with cool drink and the one with the meat and so on. So they open it to check what is inside.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Especially day visitors.
Okay.
Yes, because you're not allowed to have alcohol with you. So as a day visitor, you also complete the indemnity form. But we usually ask them for one or two forms when we go out because we know we are going to back. So then I can fill it out before we go there. And then the same thing happens. You wait in a queue in front of the gate, and then they divert the traffic. There's quite a lot of cars. And then, especially early in the morning, everybody wants to be there early because that's the time lions move, cheetahs move, leopards move. Can see other smaller animals too. But then as you drive through the gate, you give your indemnity form, you make the payment, and then you are free to go. So, but they check your car before you do the payment. And then when you come out, they also ask for your receipt. They give you a little leaflet with the information about the park. The rules basically, and then they take your receipt before you leave. Just to make sure that you don't use the same receipt to try and get into the park. So they have certain procedures that work. But because we arrived at this gate at 10, there was no queue. We didn't have to wait in a line, and obviously we had to park and go inside before we could go into the park. But we didn't pay anything at the gate because of the reservation.
You paid everything in advance, yeah.
Yes,
Okay.
except for the conservation fees.
Okay.
So when you enter as a day visitor, you pay the fee as a day visitor, and then you also pay a part of conservation fees. So the conservation fees that we stayed in the park, we had to pay that at the camp, at the rest
Okay.
camp where we stayed.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, that's something that we don't really sort of think about, how strict it actually is. I mean, now you telling the story and putting it into context, it makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And that is probably a good thing that they are so strict. Yeah.
Yes.
But we just see the romantic side, you know, the campfires,
Yes.
the barbecues, the animals driving
Yes.
through. That's what we see in our mind, and then we get hit by the reality of actually getting there and entering the park. Yeah. So,
Yes.
okay, be prepared.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So then I'm going to share my screen with you to show you a map. Hopefully, I can draw on it. There we go. Let's see if I can use
Yes,
this.
it's the signal still traveling 9,000. It's probably stopping at
Oh,
the Kruger National Park. That's having
probably
what there is. Yeah,
having a little holiday.
have a little holiday. Oh, there it is. Okay, it's arrived. Hello, hello picture. It's very cold and miserable here in Europe, in France.
It's very hot there.
Okay, so Crocodile Bridge. Yes, I recognize. Ma and
Yes.
Malilan. There, yeah. That's where
Yes.
you entered.
Yes. So Malalan here at the bottom is where we entered. And then from the gate, because we were early, we decided to go to this rest camp over here, Bergendal. There is an exhibit of rhinos. There's some rhino skulls. There's the difference between the white rhino and the black rhino, and there's some other animals as well, some owls and snakes and things. But we stopped there to show it to my son. Then from there, we traveled back on this road, and then we had brunch. So my brunch is having a beer at 11 o'clock in the morning in the Kruger National Park. It's a tradition.
That sounds heavenly paradise.
Yes, ice cold, ice from the cooler box. And we took a couple of pictures too.
Yes, I bet they were in the status app.
Yes.
I didn't know it was 11 o'clock in the morning, but
Yes, it was 11 o'clock in the morning and it was 36 degrees.
yeah, I mean that was something that really actually, I mean, because you showed you sent me a picture of the temperature in the car dashboard when it was
Yes.
already sort of like 38 degrees.
Yes, yes.
And then I did sort of the thing that I would say, okay, so it's 38 degrees where you are. What's it like back at home where you live? And it was a complete, so that you were only what, 600 kilometers,
Yes.
500, 600 kilometers away from home, 5 to 6 hours drive. And the temperature difference and the weather is just like totally different.
Yes.
I mean,
Yes, completely different.
that was, you know, yeah, that was a big surprise for me.
Yes. Yes. So from there, we drove on this tar road. The yellow roads on the map are the gravel roads. So we traveled on the tar road. Then we stopped here. This place is called Afsal. There we bought ice cream because it was also very hot. I don't know what the time was by then. And then we left again and we went all the way up to here and then down this road to Pretoria Kop, where we stayed. So I think we arrived at 2 or 3, it was just past 2 in the afternoon. And then we had to do the check-in at the reception. We booked our night drive for the Sunday night, also paid it there, paid the conservation fees, got the keys, and then found the house. Aiden, or my son, immediately wanted to go for a swim. But after inspecting the small hut or the little house, he noticed there were 3 beds. There were a table with chairs, a
Fridge.
closet, a fridge. Yes, that was the important thing. A fridge, an air condition, or air conditioner. And then he wanted to know where's the shower. So I told him that the shower, you have to walk to the shower and you have to walk to the toilet. It's in a different place. So we went to show him where that was. And he was quite upset because every time he wants to go to the loo, we had to walk with him.
No,
sometimes
drivers.
he had to use the ladies, sometimes he could go with my husband to the
So the hut, the huts, how big are they? Because your husband actually then did send a video of or make a video which you then sent about, because I was curious what the inside of these huts look like. So how big are they?
So it's round, but I think it's about if I had to guess, maybe 3 or 4 meters.
Three by 4 meters. That's actually
Small.
that's very small.
Yes. Maybe a little bit bigger. Maybe 5 meters.
Okay. All right.
Maybe 5. I'm thinking about the size of the beds and everything else, but there's not a lot of moving space around there.
Okay. And then you have the public bathrooms, the public toilets,
Yes.
the public showers,
And the kitchen as well.
and the public kitchen. Okay.
Yes.
Sounds so you get a camping holiday, but you get a hut, I suppose a
Yes.
traditional African hut, yeah,
Yes.
round thatched roof on top.
Yes.
So you're sort of half in civilization, for want of a better word, but you're half in the bush.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yes.
Okay.
Nothing fancy. It's not 5-star hotels.
Well, I don't think that would be the ethos. Yeah.
No. Maybe if you live in a place like Skukuza, they have very, I think they have a hotel, and then they have the train that they changed into a lodge or hotel. And they have the same huts. They also have a campsite. They have a tented camp as well. But some of the places they have started to revamp them.
Okay.
Yes.
But for the authentic experience, I think you got closer to where it should be. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes.
All right. So I remember this word. I do listen. When you drove from Malelane to Petroyoscope, did you have any, or did you encounter any commotions?
I think I did take a picture of a commotion to show you. Now that I think about it. So I'm just scrolling through the pictures. On our way there, we saw elephants, we saw hyenas. We also saw some antelope. Let me just go down a little bit. I'm looking at the post that I started but never got to finish. So
Again,
I took a picture of the Crocodile River as we went into Malalan. We saw the hyenas, we saw the elephants, we saw some blue wild beast, we saw some owls. We saw the African wild dogs. That is where the commotion was.
Okay.
There were quite a few cars who stopped to look at the African wild dogs. They were all lying down. So in the picture, you can't see them clearly, but there were quite a big group of them. We saw some turtles, snapping turtles. I don't think we saw any lions that day, but we saw the African wild dogs, which was a big yes
Highlight.
for us. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We saw some zebras, warthogs, baboons, monkeys, lizards, all kinds of different colored lizards, yellow and blue and gray. So we
So,
had the one commotion where we saw the African wild dogs.
explain this one to me. You just listed a whole choice of animals.
Yes.
Some of them I haven't even heard of, like the African wild dog. You've been to Kruger a lot.
Yes.
Again, putting this into the different perspectives, you list these animals and we think, wow,
Yes.
fantastic. You've done this a few times.
Yes.
Do you still have the same sense of wowness?
Yes. You don't even have to finish your question. Yes, the answer is yes. So something like the impalas, live in big herds, very big herds. So we have a word that we call them in Afrikaans to say a weerbok. So weer meaning again, because you see them again and again and
Again,
again
again.
because they are all over. But there are also some places where you don't see any animals, probably because they are just deeper into the bush, or maybe something else is lurking in that area and you don't see the animals. Sometimes you drive very long distances where you don't see anything, but other days you are very lucky to see a lot of animals.
How easy is it to drive past and not actually spot them? Because
Very easy. Very easy.
the photos that you sent and put on your update, you sort of really had to sort of enlarge the picture to actually see what it was that we were supposed to be looking at.
Yes.
And
Yes.
you're driving. Okay, you're not allowed to drive very fast for logical reasons. A, it's
Yes.
dangerous, and B, you might miss something.
Yes.
But basically, one of you two was driving, and the other one was looking out the window and spotted something that could potentially be something exotic to look at. You
Yes.
shout, they hit on the brakes. If you're the only one,
My
if you're
son face planted against the seat a couple of times because we braked too hard.
okay. And if you're the only ones in the vicinity, then if there are other cars slowing or stopping, then there's already this human signal. There's something there. Let's slow down.
Yes.
And then you discover what it is. Can you somehow describe that feeling of discovery?
Okay, so what happens when we go into the park? We take turns to drive. So my husband will drive in the mornings and then we will s swap. I will be driving in the afternoons. So when he's driving, I kind of turn my back to him because I can't keep my neck faced that side the whole time. But then I do scan the area. Sometimes I look on his side. We have a lot of jokes that don't look on my side, look on your side.
Look straight
But
ahead.
yes, but we do make we take turns, and then as you drive, because you're not driving too fast, you can scan the area around you. And then obviously, you look for a silhouette of something. And you kind of get used to that. So at some points, you will see a silhouette of a lion and you brake. And when you look, then it's maybe a tree stump. Maybe a rock. It happens. You get so excited and then it's a rock or a tree or something.
Okay.
But it happens. We saw a lot of rock lions and tree lions. And not just that, but yeah. So we also joke about that.
Okay.
But
Yeah.
it's quite easy to spot. If I think about the kudus, they are gray in color. I also send you some pictures of them with the twisted horns.
Ones, yes.
Yes. So if you drive, sometimes you just see the silhouette of this animal, and then as you drive past it, you see, oh, but it's a kudu, and then you see, oh, but there's six of them or there's seven of them. At one point, we saw a place where there were 14 together. Yes, but you only spot one of them, maybe just the backside or maybe just the head. And then as you look closely, you see, oh, but there's 14 or there's more than one. But there's places where you only see one as well. And then the same with the giraffes. Maybe you spot a giraffe, oh, there's a giraffe. And when you start looking around, oh, but there's more than one. So it does happen. And sometimes you do miss them.
How does a 6-year-old boy react?
Excited every time. Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, he just goes overboard, yeah, and says,
Yes.
"Look, look, look," and so on.
Yes. And there's an impala, there's a giraffe, there's an elephant. Sometimes we keep quiet so that he can spot the animal first. And that makes him very excited too. So we saw it, but we keep quiet so that he can spot it.
Do you edge him in a direction, or do you just let him discover it now? Because
No, he will sit at the window down. He likes the windows down, so he will sit with his window down, looking, and then we will drive a bit slower until he sees it. But usually it's very close. But he's seen some things that were a bit further in as well.
I think that's a really important point. So, sometimes when I'm in the garden, in what is supposed to be the vegetable patch, yeah, and there's the little lane behind us,
Yes.
and people will drive up and down, and they will not see me standing there or doing something in the garden. Yeah,
Because they,
tunnel vision.
yes, your tunnel vision changes when you're in the Kruger National Park.
Does it change when you're not in the Kruger National Park? Is there something where you can sort of, because you actively look for animals, that your sense of seeing or the way you see and look changes? Because if you've been forced to look for animals that are well camouflaged, that somehow you take some of that with you when you are in your normal life. Or am I just wrong?
Yes, definitely. So some if even if I drive around here, sometimes I will spot a rabbit in the grass. Sometimes there will be a small falcon sitting on the power lines, and I will spot that. But I think that's part of
Part
it.
of the childhood training
Yes,
that you
yes.
went because you spent a lot of time as a child in Kruger.
Yes.
Okay.
And the same when we drive to my grandparents, for example, there's a lot of game farms around there. And then sometimes you will also spot the kudus or warthogs or impalas, sometimes different antelope that you don't always see in the Kruger National Park. So you are kind of in that to know that you are in this area. Just keep an eye out. Maybe you'll see something interesting. And even around here, if it's something small, like a rabbit in the grass, you
Yeah.
spot it.
So anyway, so you had your brunch, you got to your base,
Yes.
you set up your home in your temporary home, in your hut, and then you went out.
Yes.
It's sort of like you just sort of throw everything into the hut and
Basically.
store everything in the fridge to make sure it stays nice and cool and fresh.
Yes.
And then you jump in the car, and then you go out and go on safari and look for whatever is running around.
So on the Saturday, we didn't go for another drive. We went for a swim to cool down because it was very hot. And then we saw some elephants just behind our hut. They were a little bit deeper into the bush, but you could see parts of them and you could hear them. And then we started barbecue because we were quite tired. So my son was supposed to be sleeping, but he woke up just as we left the town. So he was wide awake, and about 10 minutes into the drive, he asked, "How long is this going to take? When are we going to be there?" So we had to explain to him that this is going to take some time. This is going to be a long ride. You were supposed to sleep. So he said, "No, I don't want to sleep." And then he started noticing that the sun was rising. So he sat in the back looking to see when he could actually see the sun. And that's also why I send you the pictures of the sunrise. Yes, when he was awake, he was looking at the sunrise. I showed him the morning star. We looked on at the moon on the other side because you could see the moon and the sun. And also as we drove, there were some pictures of the mountains and different kind of trees. I also send you some pictures of that.
I mean, I remember getting the first salvo of pictures from you, and I wrote back to you and said, please tell me that it doesn't get more beautiful than this, because I mean the drive there,
Yes.
there was some breathtakingly beautiful scenery.
Yes.
I think I'd probably take me 12 hours to do the distance just because I want to stop and soak it all in. You just zip through, you know.
That is the one downside of it. There's not a lot of places where you can actually stop. Especially a site or next to the road, because they are doing some road works at the moment.
Okay.
But that's why I took most of the pictures from the car as we drove past. That's the only downside. You only see it as you drive past. But if you don't pay attention, you're not even going to notice it. Like you said, tunnel vision for a lot of people.
Okay. So,
Next morning.
next morning, there must be a certain magic in the mornings.
So, yes. So what happens? I always pack snacks. So we'll plan to have breakfast somewhere. I have a lot of snacks in the car, so we don't plan for lunch, and then we only plan for dinner. So if you take too much food, you are going to waste it, depending on what your plans are. But we never prepare for lunch because we buy ice cream, we buy slushies, along the way, and that also kind of fills you up. So what happens in the evenings after my son passed out of tiredness? We quickly washed the plates and everything, tidied up a little bit, packed the bag of snacks, made sure we had enough cool drink for the next day, and then we went to bed. So we also planned the route, what we are going to do the next day. So that morning, we decided to drive on this gravel road all the way there. We saw a lot of animals there. And one thing that we did see was a sable type of antelope. And that is something that's very scarce. You don't see it a lot. So it ran over the gravel road someplace and it was gone. We saw it running across the road into the bush and it was gone. Even if we drove slowly, we couldn't even see backside, horns, nothing. So that was very fast. So we drove on this road and then we turned towards Kukuza and then we had to make a choice. Are we going to have breakfast first or go to the Kruger Gate, the Paul Kruger Gate? So we decided to go to have breakfast first at Skukuza. Then we drove back to the Kruger Gate. I also send you the picture of the
That,
monument.
yes, then it's huge, yeah.
Yes, it's huge. So if you park on the inside, you don't go out of the gate. You park on the inside and then you just talk to the warden there or the game ranger. Not a warden, game ranger. So you tell him that you just want to go to the monument, and then he tells you are doing this on your own risk because you are still in the park.
Okay, so you're walking, for want of a better expression, on dangerous ground, yeah, because
Yes.
something could actually come out of the bush and
Lion, leopard, elephant, giraffe, zebra, whatever. So it's not a long distance. I think it's about 50 meters, 60 meters from the gate.
but it could
But
make a
it
difference
could
to me.
be, yes. You won't outrun any animal. You can try, but you Yes. So.
I mean, how big? I mean, the animals are not, they're not stupid. They know that there's
Yes, of course. They know there's movement and there's noise and they move away during the day. But I won't do this at night.
Are you allowed to do it at night?
No.
Well,
No. But you'll get someone who might try.
okay. All right.
Yes, only time you are allowed to go out at night is if you book a game drive and you go out on the truck, not by yourself.
Okay. All right. So you said hello to Paul Kruger, paid your respects
Yes.
to him.
And took some pictures, thanked him for the beautiful park that he
Founded.
found it, yes. And then we went back to Skukuza side, but we did a lot of small little routes here at the back.
All right.
There's a nursery. You can actually buy plants at the nursery. We didn't because they won't grow in this area, according to my knowledge. And they have a little wooden walkway. So we walked all the way around on this walkway. We saw some bushbucks there, a mom and a baby. And a lot of evidence of some kind of wild, or no, not wild, let's say a carnivorous animal, a lion or maybe a hyena that was in this area. So we walked all across that little bridge. And then from there, we went to a lookout point. So it's kind of like a hide where you can go into. I also send you pictures of that. There's some water. We could hear the hippos, but we couldn't see them clearly. And we looked at a couple of birds. And then one of the other men in this place noticed that there was a snake in the roof. That was actually the very dangerous one, the black mamba.
Okay, I know about
Yes.
that
Yes. But it was curled up in the, it's also a thatch roof.
Right.
So it found a nice little hole for itself to hide there during the day. Probably cooler than outside. So because it's open, the whole hide is open. It could have gone in there in the morning, at night, whenever, probably left that night again when it was quiet. So we spent a few minutes there, got back into the car, drove further. And then, oh, then we went back to Skukuza. We bought some slushies. And then we drove this road back. Because where this little car is, there's a big rock. I wanted to take a video there to show you how far you could see the Kruger from this rock, but it was still closed, because a lion had her babies there not too long ago. Yes. Yeah. So this is the second time it's happened. The first time also a lioness had her babies there. And as soon as they get older, they move away. So this was unfortunately the second time it happened, but it was closed. They close off the pathway to go up the up this to this rock. I send you some pictures about our previous trip where my son was looking at everything around. Yes. So that is the place. So we don't know if she had the babies on the rock, next to the rock, before she hiding it just behind the rock, but it's really a big rock. You can, there's about, you, I don't know, you can park six or seven or eight cars on this rock and still have a place to move around. So it's quite big.
But I think it is a tribute to the park and to the management of the park that the population grows naturally. You know, the animal
Yes.
population grows naturally,
Yes, it
and the
does.
people, yeah.
Yeah, so the same with the elephants, the impalas, zebras, the population grows naturally. And then there's a couple of like threats as well. Obviously, the rhinos are endangered species because they are being killed unnecessarily for their horns. And I think that's one of the reasons we didn't see a lot of rhinos because there aren't many. The other thing is the elephant population. I remember when I was about 5 or 6 years old, maybe seven, the elephant population was at risk because they were hunting down elephants for their tusks. But now the park has a problem of having too many elephants because they destroy the trees just to get to the roots. They want to eat the roots, so they push over the tree, eat the roots, and the tree is left to die. And then for the lions at the moment, there's it happens in dry seasons where they there's a they call it anthrax, a type of disease that the lions get that is spread by kudus, buffaloes, vultures, And that actually kills the lions. So they are also in danger at the moment. I've seen some very, very cruel, gruesifying pictures on Facebook about it. But one thing I noticed, I follow a lot of animal wildlife pages on Facebook. So even now back home, as I scroll through Facebook, I see, oh, I follow this page, I follow this page. There's a photographer that I follow. He's one of the game rangers.
Right.
So there's the latest Kruger sightings where you can see all of these interesting animals that they saw. So the more I scroll through Facebook, the more I realize it's just wildlife things, which is not a bad thing. I like it.
It is. No. I mean, but getting. I mean, I think what very few people realize. Again, this was sort of my side of preparation for your trip. There's actually a huge research and conversation organization that works in the park, and
yes,
and I don't think many people would realize that. There's the tourist side where everybody drives through and admires the animals,
yes,
but there's a lot of other scientific work happening in the background.
Yes.
So when you say that the rhino population is an endangered species, and years ago when you were a child, the elephants were an endangered species, and the population recovered, and now there's actually an overpopulation.
Yes.
Is it safe to say that the same will happen with the rhinos, that they will actually regenerate to a sustainable level? Or is there the point?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because as you also drive through the park, a lot of things that you notice are anti-poaching units. So they are dressed in army completely. They are being dropped off in the bush. They sleep with the rhinos under the trees or just out of sight of the rhinos because they're also very dangerous. A lot of the rhinos have been... they cut off their horns because that is what they are after. So they will kill a mom, leave a baby just to take her horn. And the way that they cut it, they actually hurt the rhinos. Where if it's done by a vet, they don't bleed to death and they are not shot and all of those things.
Yeah. Well,
that's another reason why you're not allowed with your firearms in the park and why they search your vehicle and everything. So the anti-poaching units, we saw actually quite a few of them driving around. They are there. They do take care of the animals, and not just the rhinos, but other animals as well. And then one of these days, I was pulled over by the traffic cops. So there's traffic cops driving around, especially in the Skukuza area, but you'll see them all over the park as well. And she had one of the anti-poachers with her in the car. And so what happened was we stopped. I was driving. It was my turn. So we stopped, and I think that happened on the Monday. We just finished having breakfast at Skukuza, I think. So we stopped just to make sure, because one of these roads, I think this one here, was actually closed, and we had to take a detour because we were headed to Lower Sabi and then out Crocodile Bridge. So I was pulled over, and when this lady saw me, she said, "Oh no, sorry, I'm looking for someone else." So obviously she was looking for someone with the same vehicle as we had or we have. And then she drove off. So I'm making jokes that, oh, I got pulled over in the Kruger National Park.
I
wasn't speeding. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I pulled off on the side of the road. We checked the map. And as I pulled away, she came from the back and she flashed her lights. So I didn't, okay, well, let's stop. I'm not even driving 20 kilometers an hour. Nothing I could have done wrong. But I pulled over again. And then when she saw us, she said, oh, no, sorry, it's the wrong car. She's looking for another car. And she left. And then something that I learned from my grandfather was that the poachers don't use SUVs or big like pickup trucks and things, they use smaller cars like mine. So that is probably why she pulled me over. So either that, or maybe there were some day visitors causing problems or something. But that was quite interesting to
I
learn.
suppose it must be, there must be an element of fear if some authority asks you to stop, even if you know that you are in the right, you've not nothing not done wrong.
I wasn't scared. I was just wondering why. What I was just thinking, like, what did I do wrong? But I knew I didn't do anything wrong. And she came when we pulled over, checked the map, and then started driving. I didn't even see her behind me. So even when I pulled over, because I checked a couple of times before I pulled over, so there was nothing. Nothing that I so I knew that, okay, she's pulling me over, but I couldn't even see it was a she until she spoke or until she stopped next to me. But
Did she get out of the
I
car or did she just pull up? No, so.
no, she just pulled up next to me, windows down, and then she spoke to me. She's
Okay.
not allowed to get out.
Yeah.
It's
All right.
in the middle of the park. Unless she wants to be eaten by something.
So before we go to what must ultimately be the highlight of this trip, the night drive, the night safari, there's one question that I find it's a contradiction. So there is a poaching problem, yet the
Yes.
controls at the gates are quite strict.
Yes, but what happens sometimes they don't go through the gates. They'll go through a fence somewhere.
Right. Okay. Because
That is
the fences are porous, to say the
yes.
least. Yeah.
And not in all the places, but there's quite a lot of places where that's a problem. Or they sneak in during the night, or they find another way around it. They don't go during the day as much. But it's not just the rhinos. The African wild dog is also an endangered species. There's some birds that are also endangered species. Well, there's poachers who will shoot a lion for nothing, or they will
All right.
shoot a leopard for the skin, or
Okay.
because they sell it at very high prices, and that's why they do it.
Yeah, I mean you can understand. No, you can't understand, but you can see the logic of the motivation.
Yes.
But even not having been to Kruger, but just hearing your stories and soaking up the beauty of your experience. I just sort of ask yourself, why? Why do people want to do this?
Exactly.
I can't understand. I can see the logic because it's financial, there's a financial motivation, but I can't understand. There must be other ways, to earn your money. But okay,
Yes.
that's one of these paradoxes.
Yes.
A highlight Sunday evening. I think it was Sunday evening, wasn't it? The night
Yes,
drive.
Sunday evening. Yes.
So I was actually very surprised to learn. I don't know if it came from you or if I got it from some other information. So when you think night drive, you think something like it's about 10 o'clock at night and it goes till midnight and something like that. But in actual fact, it starts quite early because it gets
Yes.
dark so early, and by sort of
Yes.
like 10 o'clock, everyone's back in their huts and so on.
Yes.
And you've mentioned night drives a few times in the course of all our
Yes.
conversations. So, for want of a better expression, kidnap me and take me on this experience.
So for the drives, there's different drives. They have a morning drive, then they have a like a daily drive. They have a sunset drive, and they have a night drive as well. So the sunset drive leaves at 6 and they return at 8. Then you get a new driver from 8 to 10. So the one that we booked was from 8 to 10. And then the prices are also different depending on which time of day you go. They also have walks, guided walks that you can go. But it also depends on the age of the children. They have to be at least 12 years old for the walks and so on. And they also come across very interesting things on the walks. But obviously, that's a bit,
You have to wait a few years for that to be able to do that.
wait a few years for that, but also dangerous because they come across hyenas, they've seen leopards, porcupines. So I don't know. I really want to do it, but I don't know. Anyways, so We booked the game drive. It starts at 8. We had to meet at the gas station at 7:45. You also have an indemnity form that frees the park from any fatalities, any injuries that might happen during the course of this drive. But it is quite safe. From my past experience and what I've learned from different game drives and so on, it's relatively safe. So then at 8 o'clock we left and we saw a lot of owls, we saw chameleons, we saw elephants. The elephants hate the light. If they see the lights, they get a bit grumpy.
The car lights, yeah.
Yes. So this vehicle, it's like a small truck. It can take about 20 people. It has big lights in the front. So as you drive, you can see the trees and the grass and everything clearly. And then the people sitting right at the back has their own lights, or there's two lights. So we sat right at the back. So my husband and my son were busy playing with the other light. Next to me, there were two ladies. They had no idea how the light works. So I had to show them. Because I did this on a previous ride with my mom. So I knew how the light worked and what they should do. So I showed them what to do. We saw Jeanette, we saw a hyena. And on this drive, doesn't matter if it's morning, night, afternoon, they give you a lot of information. So they talked about the elephants, how the elephants sleep. Sometimes they lie down to sleep if there are a big herd of elephants. But if it's one elephant, he might be resting against a tree or an anthill or something. So he doesn't fall over.
No, I'm not drunk. I'm just sleeping, yeah.
I'm just sleeping. Yes. Yes. And then with the hyenas, when we saw the hyena, he also explained that these animals are so used to seeing vehicles that if you get out of this vehicle, they might run away because they are so scared. And that's exactly what a lady said on the previous night drive that I've been on about the lions. So she also said the lions recognize this vehicle. They know the vehicle doesn't hurt them. If you climb out of the vehicle, the lions are just going to move away. Mostly because they are shy, but they also don't see you as food, which is a
Look, I
good
brought my
thing.
own salt and pepper with me, yeah.
Yes. Yes. So that is why it's quite safe to do this as well. And then our driver, when he saw the chameleons. Now, I'm convinced, I don't know if it's true, but I'm convinced that these chameleons made a kind of sound that sounded like a bird, and that is how he spots them.
All right.
Because there's no way that you are going to drive and you are going to spot a chameleon in a tree, day or night. With a light, without a light, there's no way. I've been searching since we went into the park until we left in every tree. Everywhere, and I couldn't spot one, but I'm convinced they make a sound, and that's how he found them. But that's what he didn't explain to us how he did it. But his words were, "I don't know how to find a lion, but I can spot a chameleon." So we saw two chameleons with him as our guide, and then he took us to a lake, a water hole, where during the day, we stopped there as well. So we saw there's hippos, and we didn't actually see crocodiles there, but there were different antelopes and animals moving around as well. And when he stopped there, he started telling us about the hippos. So the hippos stay in the water during the day because they have very sensitive skin. And then at night, they go out to graze because they actually eat grass. And after a moment of silence, he said, "So that means nobody's home." So we were all looking at the water, but I knew there weren't going to be any hippos in there. But then when he said nobody's home, everybody started laughing because they were actually looking for the hippos. And also from previous experience, I know that I actually saw the hippos grazing on the previous time at night.
I mean, again, the contradiction. Again, I'm putting my European Northern Hemisphere lens on. You see these hippos, and the closest, if we don't actually sort of make our way to a national park, it could be anywhere in Africa. The closest we will get to a hippo is in a zoo, where they're going to be sort of like in an enclosure. But the point I'm making is that you see these enormous animals, and then you say they have sensitive skin.
Yes.
I mean, it just doesn't come to mind that an animal of this size can have
Yes.
sensitive skin. Sensitive skin, you buy some cream, or you do something as a human, you do something to make it, and all they do is go into water, and
Yes.
sit in water all day, and then they come out to graze it in the evenings.
Yes.
That's sort of like, oh, hang on, it just doesn't fit.
Sensitive skin, the sunlight dries out their skin very, very quickly. That's why they mostly stay in the water.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's my lesson of the week.
And I taught you elephants don't jump.
Well, that as well. But you said also, elephants. Again, I think these are the curious fun facts. So aside from the sheer magnitude and beauty of seeing everything in its proper place,
Yes.
the little curious details of the sensitive skin, elephants don't jump,
Yes.
and then the elephant. You just got to picture this: the elephant lying down for a nap.
Yes. There was actually sometimes they do this during the day, but they also do it during the night. So they'll have two or three standing up, where the others lie down and sleep. So they will take some turns.
To sort of watch each other, I suppose.
Yes, to watch each other. And I don't know if you remember the one picture I sent to you and I circled to say there's baby elephants lying on the ground. Obviously, the babies can't travel as far as the parents do walk during the day. So we actually saw quite a few places where there were groups of animals standing together with the babies lying on the ground, taking a nap. And different size babies. Most of the ones that we saw were about, if I remember correctly, about 1 year old. And then there's 2 year olds and 3 year olds as well. They also still take a nap. Even though they are quite big, they also take a nap. But the smaller ones, they sleep a lot more and they lie down to sleep.
Yeah, and then you've just got to imagine this hulk of an animal has got to somehow get up.
Yes.
I had difficulty getting out of bed these couple of days because somehow I managed to pull my back muscle, and it was a bit
Oh, no.
painful. But maybe I should shut up in future, because if I have difficulty getting out of bed because I pulled a muscle, I have to think of the elephant saying, "Well, what's your problem, Frank? I mean, come on, there's an elephant. If they can do it, you can do it. Yeah,
Exactly.
get your act together, man."
I also something we also saw quite often was the giraffes drinking water. So they spread their legs, all four of them. It looks like they are trying to do the splits and then bend down to drink water. And then they have to get back up steadily so they don't fall over.
Yeah, I mean that's I mean I've seen I think yeah I've seen pictures of that, and I wonder what giraffes actually think. I mean, they don't know any differently, and they probably don't even think about it. But if I were a giraffe, I would say, God, isn't there an easier way of doing this? But there isn't. Well, they were
Yes.
blessed with this long neck.
But I think the worst part of it is when a giraffe gives birth because the baby falls about 2 meters.
I'm sorry.
Another fun fact.
Right. There's one thing I do want to go to, because I have this romantic image, and I did talk to you about it earlier this week. So the second stage of your holiday, you were actually outside of Kruger Park, in another
Yes.
park, and you had a house,
Yes.
and then you sent some pictures. And again, I have this vision of the film Out of Africa,
Yes.
campfire. You had your own fire pit. It was lit, and you were sitting probably in the evening, sitting outside. And then, you have a visitor, a four-legged visitor.
There were a lot of four-legged visitors.
And I think it doesn't get more romantic than that, sort of sitting outside in the dark, having something nice to eat, having something nice to drink, the beauty, the peace, the animal sounds at night, and then something emerges out of the bush and says hi. So what's that like?
So last year we went to the same house. So that was a first time experience for all three of us, to be that close to the animals. And this year it was also still amazing to see it. In this area that we were, Marlof Park, it's like a holiday, a very
Resort.
popular, not a resort, like a holiday town,
Okay.
but a small town in the bush, right next to the Kruger National Park. The fences are very poor. There were some lions and leopards crawling around there as well. And they also have some rules that you're not allowed to walk after 6 at night, and mornings, I think it's also 5 or 6. I don't know. From f dark, not allowed to walk around in the dark. You can drive with your car, that's okay. But last year there were a lot of animals, and there's not enough food for all of them. So they did take a couple of the animals to different farms. So they were a lot less this year, but we still had a lot of visitors. And something I've noticed, the moment you light the barbecue, the animals come towards you because they smell the smoke and they know, oh, there's food. Because you can buy animal feeds specifically for them to feed them because
Oh,
of the,
really?
yes. Yes, because of the food not being enough for all of them. So the giraffes don't eat them, but the zebras eat them, the warthogs eat it, the kudus eat it. And there's a lot of those animals that I have a love-hate relationship with. One of them being the zebras. So last year we had a kind of bad encounter with a big herd of zebras, in that place in particular, because we threw out food. There were two or three zebras. We threw out a little bit of food, and the next moment there was a whole herd of them, maybe 50 to 60 zebras. And we were out standing outside, and we had to get back into the house for safety because it's still a wild animal. And they started fighting and kicking each other and jumping and biting, and that was scary. So,
Oh, how uncivilized.
exactly. So this time around, we only had a smaller herd. We only saw a smaller herd, with about maybe eight zebras. But still, they still fight. They still bite each other. They still kick and jump and run off. But whenever you throw out the food, it's like they have supersonic hearing because all the animals just come running. It's a very big place. Animals are scattered all over the place, but they hear it. So if it's not the zebras, it's the warthogs. Warthogs are also very dangerous, because of their teeth. Kudus, the females and the babies are okay, but the ones with the horns are dangerous because they can cause quite some damage. And then the impalas are very scared, but we think mainly it's because they come out of the Kruger National Park. They aren't born there. So they are very scared. And something that did scare them off were farting So we were trying to shoo them away to start the fire, to light the fire, and they didn't want to go. And then my son got this amazing idea to start making farting noises, and they got scared and they ran off.
The simplest self-defense sometimes.
Exactly. So we tried all kinds of things to shoo them away, but they didn't, and then the farting noises scared them. You can clap your hands, you can shoo them, but they don't. But the farting noises made them scattered.
I suppose that must have made your son feel like a superhero,
Well, we all laughed.
yeah.
That was
Wow.
clever.
Okay. I now have a better understanding of why it is that you always leave something behind when you go to Kruger,
Yes.
you know that's on my list. I
Yes.
don't quite know how to prepare for it. I'm sure when the time comes, you will help me plan
Yes.
it. Yeah.
Yes. Definitely.
Because we just we you know you sent me all these pictures. We all know what these animals look like, but to see them in the
Yes.
context, in the environment, and it wasn't just the animals. It was also the landscape and the beauty of the landscape and so on.
Yes.
So, well, thank you for sending those pictures. Thank you
It's a pleasure.
for the status update. Thank you for whetting my appetite, for one moment. I'm being totally, totally egotistical here. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank
It's
you
a
for
pleasure.
whetting my appetite for getting this in motion. And as I said, when we talked about it before you went, yeah, you come back with a heavy heart,
Yes.
but it's lightened by the anticipation that there will be another visit
Yes.
at some point.
Yes.
And, the best part of it is to look forward to that visit.
Yes.
And I think one takeaway that I also have is that, not that I can judge it or compare it, but I don't think I want to. But the stories that you told, and the examples that you gave shows the depth of experience and knowledge that you have accumulated over the years.
Yes.
And if I wish for nothing more than to have you as a guide, sharing that experience,
Yes.
and being able to partake in it. Yeah. So
Yes.
we'll work on that one. Yeah, Anita, brilliant.
Definitely.
Thank you. Thank
It's
you very,
a
very
pleasure.
much for telling us all these stories.
It's my pleasure.
I hope I haven't made your holiday blues, post-holiday blues worse, or maybe that
No,
you
I just want to go back.
yes.
It's not worse. I still want to sort through the pictures because on my phone they're quite messy because some my husband took and sent to me and some I took, and so I want to do that over the weekend to sort them out a little bit, like day by day or
And then relive the experience.
relive the
Yeah.
experience. So even
Yeah.
my husband sent me a message yesterday to say I went through the pictures, but I want to go back. How can it be that you miss a place so much? But something that I didn't miss was the truck noises, the motorbike noises, the people.
Yeah.
There, you don't hear any traffic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a big difference.
So I wonder. I mean, I need to probably put on some armor here, because if you have that experience and that feeling, and you live, with comparatively with a stone's throw away,
Yes.
what's it like for us coming, traveling 9,000 kilometers south and saying.
I don't know. That would be very interesting because I have seen a lot of posts on Facebook where people, the Europeans, would comment to say, I've been there 1,000 times and I'll go back. And I've also seen Europeans saying that I left a piece of my heart there When we were there, we saw people from Spain. We actually spoke to some people from Spain. We saw a scouts group also from somewhere in Europe. My
Oh.
guess is Netherlands, if I maybe German. Actually, maybe I think they spoke German.
A scout group going to South Africa on an interkruger.
To
Wow.
Pretoria Kop, we saw them there.
Okay.
Yes, that was quite an experience. I don't know how old they were, but maybe 17, 18, 19 years old, and then obviously their scout leaders. Then there were also French. I heard a lot of French conversations. There was one man that I spotted that I know he was from Europe. I pointed him out to my husband to say, he's from Europe somewhere.
Khaki socks, sandals, yeah.
The only he was actually wearing jeans, but the socks and the sandals were there. Faded jeans, socks, sandals, and he had a t-shirt, but it was also like a animal t-shirt.
I apologize. I
Oh, no,
apologize.
that's okay. That's okay. I like it. And then the South Africans, you can spot the South Africans as you see them.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting
Okay.
to see. But
All right.
yeah, so I think that maybe you'll have the same experience. You'll leave a part of yourself behind.
Probably. I probably. Okay. Right. We need to stop. Thank you for
Yes.
description.
My
And we
pleasure.
meet again next week for the peeling potatoes. We have a special
Yes.
guest. I hope that will come through.
Yes.
Somebody from Mali. I hope that he can confirm. And then we'll be talking about something totally different. But
Yes.
it's good to have you back. Good to be back. See
Yes.
you next week, same time,
See you
same
next
place.
week.
Bye bye.
Take care. Bye bye.